Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, an entrepreneurial support organization and coworking community with locations in Valley Junction and downtown Des Moines. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Work better. Work together.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It is the first Horticulture Day of 2019. And this hour, we're going to focus on houseplants. Bright, beautiful, flowering houseplants. Horticulturist Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension is here. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
And Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, is also here. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year to both of you. And, of course, our poinsettias are starting to droop, drop their leaves. The amaryllis bulbs that a lot of us bloomed for the holiday season, they're starting to fall off. And things are getting pretty drab outside. So let's talk about flowering plants. And, yeah. And of course, Aaron, the two that I just mentioned are the kinds of things that we give each other as gifts. Often, you know, host presents or hostess presents.
Yeah.
We love to give flowering plants. But there's a difference between the kinds of plants that we'll go and buy at a florist and the kinds of plants that we could keep in our home and continue to bloom, right?
Yeah. So some of the plants we get, like poinsettia or a cineraria, an azalea, even hydrangea, like they're wonderful when they're in bloom, but they're a lot of work. They either take a lot of time or a lot of effort to get to rebloom, or in the case of something like azalea, they're almost impossible to get live year to year in a home setting. And so those florist plants tend to be a lot of work and are best treated as kind of enjoy and toss like you would cut flowers. But there is another group of flowering house plants that are actually really easy to get to bloom year after year, make really good long-term house plants.
All right. Well, you say really easy. maybe really easy for
we'll
you.
We'll say straightforward.
Okay. All right.
Yes, they are straightforward to get to rebloom.
Don't feel bad if you have not had success and Richard may have had with these plants. I have certainly failed at a few of the plants that we're going to talk about this hour. But, I mean, we do have to have a realistic idea that those beautiful flowers that people give us are not something that we should even try to maintain and invest a lot of time in.
Yeah, I mean, poinsettia, for example, is relatively straightforward to get to rebloom, but it takes so much work, and it never looks as nice as what the plants that are produced in the greenhouse look like. So, you can do it if you want to put the effort into it. It can be a fun project, but the outcome is usually not as stellar as maybe some of these other plants we'll talk about.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the plants that we love to buy and coax into bloom over and over again. I mean, I think African violets spring to mind because that's something that so many people love so much. And they do take some special care. But what kind of setup do you need for African violets?
Well, it's actually not too much different than many of your typical houseplants. They love the typical temperatures of our homes. So that works out very well. They need slightly brighter conditions in general than maybe some of our foliage houseplants like philodendron or dracaena or something like that. And because they need brighter conditions, I think that's one of the main reasons that if you're not getting bloom on your African violet, that light levels may be one of the reasons why. Bright indirect light's really important. And I think anybody who has an African violet that finds the right spot for it in their home, it just blooms because it's got enough light. They usually need just a little bit more fertilizer than the average foliage house plant. And the one thing that African violets really appreciate that may be a little bit more difficult to provide, especially this time of year, is higher humidity. Mm-hmm. So if you're having issues with getting humidity up, you can always put them in a terrarium or you can use a pebble tray. So this is a shallow dish filled with water and then pebbles or a grid or something like that that lifts the above the water level, and you set the pot on top of that, and as the water evaporates, it helps add humidity to the air.
All right, and you mentioned bright light. Do you recommend supplementing the light?
They respond, African violets in particular, and a lot of the African violet cousins, things like Streptocarpus or Cape Primrose, Flame Violet or Apicia, like there's lots of gisneriads is what they call them. All of them respond pretty well to artificial light. So if you don't have enough light, you can use, it can be as simple as a 4-foot plug-in shop light, fluorescent or LED, the big factor to consider is that that light has to be physically pretty close to the plant, within 6 inches ideally, because as that light gets further away from the crown of the plant, it does not have the same intensity and effect. So you'll want to get a situation where that light is relatively close, and they respond very well to artificial light.
That does create some challenges, though, because if you're coaxing flowers into bloom, you want people to see them,
yeah.
right? And then you've got this shop light in your living room, which may not be the most aesthetic thing.
Yeah, it's true. And at home, the things that I have growing under lights stay under lights until they're in bloom. And then they come up, and I enjoy them while they're in bloom for the few weeks that they're in bloom. And then once the blooms fade, they go back down under the lights.
All right. That's a good system. And how often do African violets bloom if you take good care of them?
You know, they go through cycles all throughout the year. I know the ones I have at home will cycle through every couple of months with blooms. So, and those blooms can last, depending on how well I keep them watered. They don't like to dry out completely between waterings. But if I keep them well watered, they can last for several weeks while they're in bloom.
Well, I don't usually do this, but we have a question on the line right now about African violets. So let's go to a question, and then we'll get back to talking to some of the other flowers, some of the other flowering plants. If you have a question, you can call us 866-780-9100. Patty's on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Patty.
Yes, hello. African violet. I've had this plant for 10 years, and it hasn't bloomed since I brought it home from the store. And it's in southern exposure, but not a pebble tray.
Yeah.
Try that.
And the other thing African violets do respond very well to is regular fertilization. So using just a typical 10-10-10, 12-12-12 kind of fertilizer at half or quarter strength with each watering, maybe taking every third or fourth watering off and just doing clear water every three or four times would probably help too.
I have fertilizer just for African violets.
You can buy the stuff that's specific for African violets, but a balanced...
I use that.
Yeah. Oh, so you do. Okay. Well, that should help some. It may also be, it may be worthwhile to investigate a different spot. A southern exposure window may seem like there's enough light, but maybe there's something else going on there, like an overhang, a curtain, a shrub outside. There's something that maybe not getting as much light as you think it is. I know most folks have a lot of luck in brighter but indirect windows, and often like an east-facing window tends to be really well, do well for an African violet, but that's a big generalization because there's so many factors that can play a role in how much light's coming in a window.
And Patty, you've been very, very patient.
I know.
Is this the only African violet you have?
And that's why.
Maybe get a couple more and see.
Yeah, and that could be too. You may just have just a plant that just doesn't have the right amount of vigor. The other thing too is that a lot of house plants and flowering house plants in general don't want to be in too big of a container. And so being just a little bit pot bound, others respond even better to this than others. But if it's in a really big container, that might be dampering it a little bit too. It's hard to say without seeing it.
All right. Well, good luck, Patty. Thanks a lot for your call. You can call with your questions at 866-780-9100. What is the lifespan of an African violet?
You know, they can live a really long time indoors, and there are folks who have some really big, long-term African violets.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about another incredibly beautiful flowering plant that, I don't know, it's a little intimidating for a lot of people, including me. Let's talk about orchids.
I know. And so, you know, as African violets may be one of the most recognizable flowering house plants, but orchids are becoming one of the most popular, especially in the last 5 or 10 years. And there are a lot of different species of orchids, hundreds and hundreds of different species of orchids, but there are a few that do really well for the average homeowner indoors. And most of them like the same light situations that we just talked about with African violets. The big difference between a lot of the orchids is that many of the tropical orchids we're growing indoors as flowering houseplants are epiphytic plants. So they don't grow in soil. They grow on top of things. And so when we get them in our homes, they're actually growing in either like a coarse bark mixture, or what I've been seeing a lot more of is a coarse sphagnum moss mixture. And that's because the roots, they're not desert plants. They don't want to be dry, but they cannot stay wet at all. And so that really coarse bark or coarse sphagnum moss helps them not hold too much water. And that's one of the things that's maybe a little intimidating for a lot of people, because you don't water them in the same way that you water your other houseplants. You can let them dry out in between waterings, and that coarse mixture feels a little foreign when you see it.
All right. So, and you have to be very steady about that. If you repot, that's what you need to repot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You don't want to put this in regular potting soil. That will be the end of an orchid for sure. And there are certain orchids that do really well for people. Phalaenopsis, or the moth orchid, is probably the most easily found orchid in the store, and one of the easiest to grow for a homeowner. And the thing that's really nice about these orchids is that when they are in bloom for months. I've had moth orchids or phalaenopsis in bloom for 4 months.
Wow.
They have a big flower stalk, and you know, you can pluck off the individual flowers as they fade, but it's not uncommon for them to be in bloom for 2-3 months with no problem. So that makes them really exciting and popular that way too.
All right, so they need the special growth media. They need
yes.
bright light, similar to the African violets.
Mm-hmm.
And those flowers are long lasting, but once they're gone, how do you get them to rebloom?
Yeah, most of them require kind of a combination of, so you want to remove the flower stalk once it's finished down at the base, and then you have a couple options. A lot of folks have luck with treating them or giving them kind of a summer outside in a shady spot, and watering and fertilizing through the summer as they're outside. And then many of them require a slight temperature drop to initiate flower buds. And that happens naturally if you have them outside in the fall. So many of them want to get down to about 50 degrees or so, and that helps initiate those flower buds. And then when you bring them inside before it starts getting too cold and frost sets in, the flower buds are initiated and they're ready to bloom for you over the winter.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We'll continue talking about flowering houseplants. With me today, Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, and Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. They're also here to answer your questions. So whether you want to talk about houseplants, flowering houseplants, or if you're planning your garden for spring, have landscape questions, they'll answer them all. 866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, an entrepreneurial support organization and coworking community with locations in Valley Junction and downtown Des Moines. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Work better. Work together.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and we're talking about flowering houseplants, bringing a little color and brightness into our homes, especially during these winter months. With me today, Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, and Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. We'll also take your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Aaron, before we move on from orchids, I walked into a grocery store the other day and saw just a huge display of orchids in bloom. Do you have any advice for when or when not to pick up an orchid from a display like that?
Well, you can pick it up from a display like that anytime. I think the big thing this time of year, although maybe not today, but most of the time this time of year, you'll want to protect those blooms. You want to not go shopping at all these different places after you pick it up, because you want to protect it from the cold temperatures. And it's not uncommon, if you don't do a good job of that, when you get it home, all the flowers will fall off.
Mm.
And so, wrapping it up or having the florist wrap it up for you, getting it to a warm car, and then going home and getting it into your home as quickly as possible is probably the best advice I have this time of year for picking one of those.
All right. So it's okay to get sucked into the...
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're beautiful.
They are. They're stunning.
Yeah.
All right. We've got an orchid question here. Jean is on the line in Ames. Hi, Jean. Jean, are you there?
Hello?
Hi. What's your question?
Yes. I have an orchid that my neighbor gave me, and it has a long stem like a flower shoot, but it has a 2-inch baby orchid growing on it, an actual plant. How do I take that off and repot it or whatever?
Yeah, every once in a while this happens, especially with moth orchids. I think officially those are called kikis. And when it gets, does it have little roots on it yet?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It's still like, it looks like it's on the flower stem. Yep. I have another orchid that does fine, but they gave me this one. They were moving, and I'm like, okay, how do I get that off and, you know, make it grow?
Yep. So usually once it starts developing those coarse little roots, you can just cut it off and then just pot it up in that same kind of bark or sphagnum mixture that the orchid is currently growing in. Every once in a while, this happens where this plant will form after the flowers fade, especially if you trim the flower stalk a certain way. It's not terribly common, but it's not, you know, it happens. It happens, and certainly.
Yeah, I've got a set of two leaves that are about an inch big already on it, and I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool.
It is really fun to see. And so once it gets a little bit bigger and once it starts developing those coarse little roots, you can cut it off and pot it up.
Okay. I'm going to ask you one other orchid question. My other orchid that I have, I've had it for about 5 years, and the roots are all outside the plant, mm-hmm. I mean outside the pot, and it does fine. It's got blossoms coming out and everything. I have never put the roots back into the soil or whatever.
Yeah, that's okay.
Is that all right?
They don't mind that at all. In their native habitats, they're doing that exact same thing, sitting on top of a tree branch. So it's probably just really happy.
Yeah, they're doing great. 2 ice cubes once a week, and it's good to go.
All right, Jean. Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. Well, and she mentions ice cubes, Aaron.
Yeah.
Is that you like watering that way?
Oh, I don't like watering this way. Although, funnily enough, they have done a study on this. I think in Michigan, they did a study on this. And apparently, it is something you can do. The thing I worry about with ice cubes is that if you do it too often, that soil media can stay wet. And that's a detriment to orchids. So if you do it in a way that the soil media still dries out in between, it's certainly an option, but if you're doing it too often and that soil media never dries out, that can be a real problem. And I see that being more likely watering with something like an ice cube.
Okay. And I understand the why it's attractive to do that.
Yes.
It, feels
it
like
is really
nice...
hard to wet that bark.
Right.
And so having something slowly water, yeah.
Right. It's not going to just run through.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Interesting. And I'm glad it's working for Jean.
Yeah.
866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Let's do a few questions. Then we'll talk about holiday cactus, mm-hmm. One of the things that we get this time of year that we can keep and continue growing. Here's a question from Herb in Des Moines. He says, I have a coffee plant where 95% of the leaves died of frost. The green part of the stem appears to be dead, but the woody stem still looks okay. Will it regrow as it gets warmer? Right now I have it in a cool garage with little light.
Only time will tell. I would assume that if it's still actually viable, that it will leaf out in a few weeks. If not, they may have lost it.
All right. Here's a question from Bonnie in Cedar Falls. I'm trying to keep a peace lily alive. I cut it back and repotted it and cut away the dead or dying foliage. What causes some leaves to turn black, starting from the tip of the leaf and working forward?
It could be a number of different things. I think the key there is to give it good, consistent care. Bright light, not direct sun. Water the plant thoroughly when the soil surface becomes dry to the touch. And fertilize moderately, especially in the spring and summer. And I like to bring it to the sink about every month and really soak it well. And that way you flush out any salts that may be accumulating in the potting soil.
All right. And that's one of those plants that we were talking about earlier where it's a frequent gift when it's blooming. But, Aaron, you wouldn't recommend hanging on to it.
Oh, peacefully, absolutely.
Oh, peacefully,
that one,
okay.
Yeah, that one does a pretty good job of re-blooming, and even when it's not blooming, has relatively attractive foliage, nice green leaves. And so that's definitely one you can keep year to year. And as long as you have enough light, it will re-bloom sporadically for you on and off all year.
All right.
And you may want to take your water and put it in a watering can. Let it sit for 24 hours so some of the chlorine in the water can evaporate. That sometimes can harm the plants, too.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Mary's on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have two planters out on my front porch that hang on the railing. And they have a plant called a dianthus. Little short guys that bloom beautifully all summer, and they're alive and they're growing. They're not blooming, but they're growing with new leaves.
Yeah.
What about that?
Well, dianthus.
I mean, I haven't done anything to them. I haven't watered them. I haven't even looked at them until recently when I said, what are you guys up to?
Yep. Dianthus is notoriously pretty cold hardy. We treat it like an annual, just like a marigold or a petunia, but on really mild winters, it can overwinter. So, Sweet William is another common name for this plant. So if we have had a pretty mild winter, and so it's just hanging on for you.
Oh, so it may live until next
it
spring?
May. You may want to, especially today since it is so warm, you may want to give it a little drink. It's probably pretty dry. I wouldn't do that often because you don't want to promote a lot of growth, but since it is in a container, it's something you might want to consider. And since it's warm enough, it won't freeze right away. That would probably be a nice gesture for that plant that's been hanging on all winter.
But it is early in January yet.
I know. It's pretty wild, really.
Right.
Yeah.
And
normally,
there
if this
could
plant.
Be some very cold weather to come.
It's true. And normally, if this plant overwinters at all, it's under snow cover, it's under leaves or other kind of debris, and it's protected that way. So, this is a very open spot being on a railing container. I think it's probably more just a testament to how mild the winter has been this year than anything else.
All right. Well, enjoy it while it lasts, Mary.
Thanks very much.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Clary from Ely says that she has a large croton, and she brings it in every fall, and it drops at least half of its leaves. It has done that now for several years. She knows it hates to be moved, but is there anything she can do to stop the leaf drop?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Probably not. It is something that happens often with a plant like croton, and it just, sometimes they grow back and sometimes they don't, and that's just kind of how they operate. That transition can be really rough on those leaves, and there are a lot of houseplants that will drop a lot of leaves when you move them in and out. Hibiscus is a good example of one. Ficus, weeping fig, is another one that does that a lot. And occasionally they'll regrow, and sometimes they won't, and it's just part of that transition.
All right. Here's a question from Rajiv. He says, I would like to know, what is the best indoor flowering plant for indirect light? In our living room, there's a lot of natural light, but all of it indirect. We have a busy household with jobs, kids, etc., and don't do a good job with watering daily, but really would like a colorful splash in the form of flowering plants. What do you think?
Well, bright indirect light is a good situation for a lot of indoor plants, including many flowering house plants. I guess my first inclination would be something like a bromeliad. I think that could do really well. They bloom for a long time. They have really colorful foliage, so even when they're not blooming, they can be really attractive.
And what do they look like?
Most of them are kind of a rosette of stiff leaves that form a vase in the center, and many of them, that vase will hold water. And so the easiest way to take care of them is just make sure that center has a little bit of water in them.
All right.
Most popular bromeliad right now is an air plant. That is also a bromeliad. So many people, especially if you're on Pinterest, know what an air plant is. And that's another bromeliad, but that is a bromeliad that does not want water sitting in its center. That would be one of the exceptions to that rule.
All right. And with some bromeliads, the color seems to come on the foliage.
Yes. There are several different types that have very nice, colorful leaves. And so the flower adds to that really nice foliage. And even when they're not in bloom, they can be really attractive.
All right. And then But there can be a separate blossom that sort of comes out of that central area?
Yeah, it kind of rises up out of the center. Probably the most popular or economically important bromeliad that people are familiar with is the pineapple. So that rises up out of the center, it blooms, and then that pineapple forms on top of that stalk.
All right, and it looks, I'm just looking at a few pictures right now, it looks like there are so many varieties of bromeliads.
There are. There are many different species, and even within species, there are many different cultivars and colors. There's a lot of variety there.
All right. Well, and I have to say that that also sounds like a nice condition for a holiday cactus. Let's talk a little bit about those. Again, something that often comes into the household during November or December. Yep. What kind of growing requirements do you have for those?
They are very low-key plants. It's one of the reasons why they're such long-lived plants. They actually don't really love being repotted, and they don't need to be repotted very often. And so they can live for years and years and years in the same container. And they bloom with a combination of light and temperature. They need short days. So if you have them in a room that you have lights on a lot, you may not see very good bloom. So if your Christmas cactus lives in your kitchen, for example, it never gets those short days because you're in your kitchen every night with the lights on. And then it also requires a little bit of a cool temperature drop, which we normally get just naturally in our homes this time of year. But that is the reason often we get questions, why doesn't my holiday cactus bloom regularly at the same time? There's a lot of people who see their Thanksgiving or Christmas cactus bloom sometimes from year to year, a month different. And it's because they need short days and this temperature difference. And we don't always give that to them at the same time every year, whether intentionally or not.
And so all right, so they may thrive on neglect.
They definitely thrive on neglect.
So that sounds like something that Rajiv would like, but they may not be very predictable because they're going to change with your behavior. And I suppose the outdoor temperature probably affects them as well because it changes how we heat and cool our homes.
Yeah, a little bit. That's true. The one thing I will say is they thrive on neglect, but when they're in bud and bloom, you have to keep them well watered because if they dry out when they are in bud and bloom, all those flowers or flower buds will drop off.
All right. 866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions. We have next up Mo on the line in Beaverdale. Hi, Mo.
Good morning. Hey, I've got a question about some rubber tree plant cuttings I was gifted recently. They came with no instructions or suggestions for care. So I stuck them in water for about 2 weeks and they did not root. So then I stuck them in some soil, and now they look quite droopy. What am I doing wrong?
Well, those actually are woody plants, and they don't root as readily as herbaceous-type plants. Typically, with a rubber tree, we air layer them, and that's very, very easy to do, very successful. But I'm guessing is that they're just not going to root. If you were to try to root those, I would use a potting soil or maybe some perlite, but definitely not water, because they tend to rot rather than root in actual water. So if they don't root in the next few weeks, I'm guessing they're basically just not going to go. They're just not going to
root. I'll just keep them. Oh, how about light requirements? I've got them in a south-facing window right now.
Definitely not in direct sunlight. I would put them in bright light, but not direct sunlight.
Okay, I'll leave them where they are maybe, and just keep my fingers crossed. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number. Ruth Ann is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Ruth Ann.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I live in Iowa City, and I moved here only 2 years ago from Clinton, Iowa. And since I came to our condo, which is biothermal heated, I have no luck at all with any plants. I've had so many different plants that I've purchased. I mean, locally, I'm going to Iowa Landscaping and Earl May and getting the good plants. Want to bring them home. They're beautiful. In a week, they're droopy and getting yellow flowers on. And I'm talking about Schiffelera, African violet, vine plants, hostas. I manage to kill most anything I bring here.
Wow,
and I just can't figure out what I'm doing. I do have a, what were you just talking about, the lilies?
Peace
lily.
Is that what you were just
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had and I water it with ice cubes once a week. That one's doing well. That's the only one that's doing well. Oh, and a mother-in-law tongue. That's doing okay, too. It's so frustrating. they're ugly. And eventually I just rip them out of the soil, buy new, put them back in. I put new soil in. I do fertilize. What do you think? Do you think it could be the water here or something?
I wouldn't think it's the water. If you're basically using tap water, that shouldn't affect most plants, so it shouldn't be the tap water. I wouldn't use softened water, but it shouldn't be regular tap water.
You wouldn't use what?
I wouldn't use softened water.
Okay,
to water my house plants.
If I take it out of the refrigerator, it goes through a filter. So maybe I should just buy water? Would that be the better?
No, tap water is typically fine.
Okay.
So I'm not sure the issue. Okay. I guess I would be more inclined to try some plants that are almost foolproof. Things like
what? I mean, I've killed off more plants than you can.
Pothos, philodendrons, very, very easy to grow. ZZ plant is another one that's very easy to grow. Dumb cane, dracaenas, those type of plants.
All right, well, good luck, Ruth Ann. Thank you so much for your call. We will be back in just a moment. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. Richard Geron and Aaron Stile here with me today. The number to call with your questions, 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa from iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
I was elected the majority leader.
This amendment broadens the scope of the bill.
What will this bill do to turn that around?
During the legislative session, Iowa Public Radio produces a weekly podcast.
We just want to make sure that it is something that is sustainable.
These are proven programs that work.
From committees to chambers, follow the path of bills and policies.
This bill lays out transparency in the process.
How can you say that with confidence?
The podcast, Under the Golden Dome, returns in January. Subscribe now for the 2019 legislative session.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and with me, Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. Horticulturist Richard Geron of Iowa State University Extension is also here. They are here to answer your questions. We've been focusing on houseplants, but they'll talk about any of the plants in your life. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We have a couple of success stories that have arrived by email. This one's from Art in Edgewood. He says, I just had the last blossom drop from a Phalaenopsis orchid that began a second blooming in early November of 2017 and has been in constant bloom since, producing 43 blooms total. It was beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And he says, I basically ignored the plant, setting it in a north basement window after its first bloom completed in the spring of 2017. Fertilized it once and watered it infrequently.
Yep.
I want to buy that one.
Yeah.
All right. And this one is from Leah in the Driftless area of southwest Wisconsin. She said, I just want to share the tale of a long-lived four-year-old poinsettia that I bought at a local retailer. It is thriving without my having followed any of the usual protocols for maintaining it. In spite of my colorless thumb, it has grown to 3 feet tall and puts out new red bracts every year around the solstice. She must have it in just the right spot in her house.
Yep. It sounds like, you know, again, they naturally bloom around this time of year. It's just our house lights and other things that interrupt that. So if you have it in a spot where it's not getting all that light pollution, it naturally blooms.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Jessica is on the line in Eldora. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
For Christmas, I received a poinsettia tree, and it's like, it's probably three and a half feet tall. And I'm told that with proper care, it can be maintained throughout the year and then in the springtime put outside. But because it's not an Iowa plant, I'm wondering if I have this false idea of that happening.
No, you can bring it outside, but you have to wait till probably late May. And what I would do would be to leave it in the pot, bring it outside in late May, and initially put it in a shady, protected location, out of the sun and out of the wind, and then gradually expose that plant to some direct sunlight over maybe a week or 10 days. And then after 10 days, choose a site that's basically partial sun, and dig a hole and set the pot in the ground. And basically just treat it like a any outdoor plant, water it when it's not raining, And I would fertilize it maybe lightly a few times in the summer and then bring it inside around mid-September. And being in a pot, it's going to be a lot easier to dig up and bring it inside. And then when you bring it inside around basically early October, make sure it's in a room that doesn't receive artificial light at night. Treat it just like a house plant, and then the bracts should color by around Christmas.
Okay, so bring it in September, and it will start to turn to be the color that we're used to in December.
Yeah, sometime around early to mid-September, it should start to color up nicely.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your call, Jessica. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And Aaron, you also recommend growing flowering annuals inside.
Yeah, there are several different annuals that are only annuals because they don't survive our cold winters and actually do fairly well indoors over the winter or year round. So things like geranium or pelargonium. Things like impatience, coleus, wax begonias, even things like fuchsia can grow well and even bloom indoors over and over again.
All right. That's a fun project with kids, too.
Yeah,
I think.
It would be. And I think sometimes we think of these things as just annual plants, but, they can be brought in. It's a way to kind of maintain something that you really like year to year, and you can take them back outside again in the spring, or you can leave them indoors year round. That's always an option too.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 866-780-9100. Charles is on the line in Urbandale. Hi, Charles.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
We were out of town. Neighbor had a tree cut down. Drove a trailer through our bluegrass yard, and we've got 3-inch ruts from front yard way to the backyard. Wait till spring, or what do we do?
I would just wait and not do anything. The freezing and thawing should help a little bit. That should occur over the next few weeks. And then maybe go out around early to mid April and rake it with a garden rake, and hopefully kind of rake that to the point where you don't see the ridges.
Yeah, and so we need to be able to mow.
Right. So, but that the freezing and thawing should help, and then raking in early spring should help.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So it's not as bad as it looks right now.
Right. Right.
that's good, because I'll bet it looks pretty bad right now. Thanks a lot for your call, Charles. JC is on the line in Muscatine. Hi. Is it Jackie? Nope, I guess not. Let's go to Steve in Mason City. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. I have, I've found that they're called either parchment plants or umbrella plants that I've grown for years in submerged in aquarium. I tumbled to the fact that the depth of the crown below the surface of the water is an important factor, and I optimize that. I'm wondering, as the plants mature, the tips of the little petals or fronds turn tan or brown. I don't know whether that's just part of the life cycle for them, or whether I could improve on their care.
So they're indoors, right?
They're indoors. Yeah. They're indoors. Yes.
So usually when tips or edges turn brown, one of the leading factors for that is humidity, especially this time of year. Humidity levels are low. And this plant, which I think is another name for it, is papyrus, really wants high levels of humidity. And it's nearly impossible for us to provide that this time of year indoors. And so you're going to see kind of little tips burning or browning, and papyrus, when it browns, it's more of a tan color. I would suspect that humidity levels would be a big factor in that. And so anything you can do to raise humidity would help. whether it's using a humidifier or you can just trim them off or deal with them. It's really sure. more aesthetic than anything else.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call, Steve. 866-780-9100 is the number. Laura's on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sure. a longtime listener, but first time caller. So I actually have two questions I hope can get answered.
Sure.
One is I love geraniums, and typically here in Iowa, we kind of just throw them out. When I was in the Bay Area a couple months ago, I saw geraniums just kind of growing everywhere, and I thought, ooh. So I brought my geranium in, and it's doing pretty well. There is some new growth. It's in a sunny front porch, four season. It's cool, but there is some browning. So I guess my question on that is, what can I do to kind of help it stay alive till spring? And then the other question was about soil. I've got some houseplants that have sort of a ashy look on the soil, and I'm wondering if they're not quite the right pH or something.
Well, as far as the geranium, it's going to be fine. I would treat it as a house plant, water it periodically. I would probably cut it back pretty severely around March, because if you don't, it's going to get pretty tall and lanky and kind of not very attractive. And so I'd cut it back pretty severely around mid-March and then bring it outside probably around late April, early May.
And the browning leaves on the geranium are very typical. Absolutely. All the geraniums I have indoors, I am constantly plucking off brown leaves. It's just one of their things inside.
All right, and your second question?
Cool. Well, it was about soil. So I've got several houseplants that kind of have like an ashy top, like the top part of the soil looks a little ashy, maybe dry a little bit, and I just don't know what that is.
Well, it might be maybe a mold of some type growing on the surface. And what you might want to do is maybe take a small knife and just kind of work up the upper half inch of the potting soil, let it dry out more quickly, and then that may kind of go away. So I think it might be a mold growing on the surface. That doesn't really affect the plant, but it's growing on that damp soil.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number, and this is from Chris, just a comment, and this I know this made your list of plants that we probably wouldn't have time to talk about, but you like it, Erin. She says, one of my favorite flowering plants is the anthurium.
Yeah.
The blooms last for months, and they reliably rebloom every year.
Yep. A flamingo flower is another name for anthurium. It is a fun plant that does have a long season of bloom. Actually, kind of closely related to things like the peace lily or calla lily. It's in that same plant family. Has these usually pink, which I think is where that common name flamingo flower comes from. But they can be reds and whites and kind of orangey fuchsia colors too.
All right.
Really fun.
Let's go next to Kelly on the line in Urbandale. Hi, Kelly.
Greetings.
What's your question?
I have a peace lily new to my home, and I've noticed that the white flowers will turn brown on the edges, and I'm curious, is this due to humidity or what else?
It could be due to humidity, especially this time of year. Our houses are just so dry this time of year, and so if the soil is really, really wet or really, really dry, that might lead to it too, but my guess is that if otherwise the plant is happy, the browning of the edges of that flower is likely due to humidity. And you could do some of the same things we talked about earlier in terms of using a pebble tray or using a humidifier to help raise the humidity. Even grouping plants together can help raise the humidity just a little bit, because all those plants and all their foliage can help trap a little bit more moisture in that area than any one plant can do all by itself. Those are things you can try to raise humidity for the flower.
Very good. I keep the house at about 45%, so I might up that slightly.
Yeah, I mean, that's nice, but even most plants, I mean, it's nice for people, especially this time of year, but most plants would love it at least 50% if you could get it. So
I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your
call.
Sure, you got one
more? May I ask one other question? An amaryllis. When it's finished blooming, what do I do then?
Well, basically what you want to do immediately is cut off the flower stalk just above the foliage, but don't harm the foliage, and then treat it like a house plant. And then around mid-May or so, I would bring it outside, harden it off for a few days, and then put it in a ground in a partially sunny area. Keep on watering during dry periods. Fertilize periodically, maybe once or twice a month in the summer. And then bring it inside around mid-September, and then put it in a room where it's kind of on the dark side, and withhold water, let it go perfectly dormant, and when it's dormant, the leaves will turn brown and die. You can cut off the dead foliage, and then let it rest for about 8 to 10 weeks in a cool, dry location. The temperature should be around 50 to 55 degrees. Those cool temperatures initiate flower development. And then after those 8 to 10 weeks, move it to a warmer area, start to water, and it should bloom.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Kelly. Next up, Lance in Davenport. Hi, Lance.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is keeping me up at night, and it's kind of off subject, but I have a new constructed home down in Lee County. I'm moving from Davenport, and I'm using the good black soil up here, and everything around my house is clay, and I need to get grass down for next spring. I just needed a good approach on how I need to tackle that and be successful.
I think what I would try is maybe if I could find a municipal site where they have compost, where they take the yard waste and they compost it. If I could find a site like that, I would bring in some truckloads.
I've struck out with that.
Okay. So, if that's the case where you can't get organic matter, I guess I would till the soil in the spring, and I would probably try maybe tall fescue. Tall fescue is a cool season grass like bluegrass, but it tolerates clay soils better than bluegrass. And you want to plant turf type tall fescue. Common tall fescue is very coarse, but they have some very, very good varieties that are basically turf type that have much finer leaves. And so you might go with tall fescue.
Okay, great. Now, putting ag lime down now, would that be helpful in any way?
No, not really. There's really no good way to improve clay soil unless you can bring in some good, fertile, well-drained soil or compost or organic matter, and that will basically improve it. But applying gypsum or lime is not really going to help.
What if he went with sod instead of seed? Would that also at least bring in some soil?
Not really, no. So it would basically, the sod would have a very shallow root system. Mm. It would be very prone to drought damage because it has a very shallow root system, because it would refuse to grow in the clay.
All right. Well, let's try to squeeze one more question in here. Carol's on the line in Pella. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Quickly, what's your question?
I have a mature jade plant. It's 10 to 15 years old. It's developed white spots on the leaves. I've tried a fungicide and spraying it weekly, but the spots just continue coming back.
Huh. Are these white spots, are they kind of fuzzy?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I wonder if it's mealybug. So this is a really common pest for indoor plants. It's a tough one to get rid of, too. But this is a little insect that sets up shop, starts sucking on the sap of the foliage, will drop honeydew, so it'll get kind of sticky around the plant.
Yes, it does get sticky.
Yep, insecticidal soaps, neem, those types of things sprayed on the plant. You'll have to do it several times.
All right, good luck with that, Carol. And we are out of time. Aaron Stile, thank you so much.
It was great. Thank you.
Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. And Richard Giron, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. We will be back with Horticulture Day again 2 weeks from today. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.